All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It's Wellness Wednesday time and we're talking dental health. So if you've any questions as it relates to your dental health, get in touch with us, 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or call 07491 25000. We're in the company of Dr. Dara Reynolds, partner at Errigal Dental. Good morning to you. How are you getting on? Good to see you again.
Good and well. How are you?
Good. Last time I was speaking to you, we were kind of in the throes of the pandemic and you were having to adapt and adjust and all that type of stuff. Things operating close to normal now?
Yeah, pretty much, Greg. Thanks. The pandemic was a difficult time for sort of medical practitioners, dental practitioners. Lots of whatever was true of social distancing with the general public, it was sort of more so when you went into a sort of a clinical environment. But happily, all of that stuff is more or less behind. Well, I mean, we still have, operate the same precautions. We wear our PPE and wear our masks, but we don't have to be, patients can enter the waiting areas more or less as per normal. So, yeah, look, I'm happy to be able to report things are good.
Mm. Okay. Listen, we'll have more general chit-chat, but questions coming in already, believe it or not. I didn't flag this in advance, but it's great to see. I have bumpy teeth. Can I get them shaved or is that really bad for them? I'm not, no idea what they're talking about there.
I guess it depends on the degree of the bumpiness. Some people will have irregularities in the outer layer of your teeth is the enamel. Some people, particularly younger people, when their adult teeth come through, sometimes they have these little lumps and bumps called mamelons. If they're quite pronounced, yeah, they can be smooth, polished off a little bit, and typically it won't have any detrimental effect on the enamel. But again, it depends on the degree. If the more enamel you remove, the theoretically the weaker the tooth becomes at that point. So there's a degree with which you would be concerned. But I mean, a dentist, if they had a look at that, if you ask the question, they'd be able to tell you very quickly whether it'll be a problem or not.
Mm. In terms of babies, toddlers using a pacifier or a bottle, Can that actually affect their teeth shape as they mature, or is that a myth, or what's the story?
No, because my own daughter, and she'll kill me for saying this, we were a bit slow getting rid of her soother, and it can tend to stop the teeth coming together at the front in particular. And normally, once the kid stops wearing that, the problem, the human body sort of responds amazingly well, and that'll rectify itself. But it's like anything. If you can try and have the kid not having the soother for too long, certainly you wouldn't want a child still with a sort of a pacifier, when their adult teeth are starting to come through, because that can certainly have a much longer term knock on effect. I mean, anything can be solved with orthodontics, but prevention's better than cure. So certainly better to try and get rid of a pacifier. I'd recommend, at the very latest by age 4 or 5. And I mean, that might sound very late, but I suppose there are some children out there that would have a tendency to suck their tongues and or have pacifiers even quite late. So yeah, the you can get rid, the better. Yeah.
All right. My son never wore his retainer. Will it harm his teeth to get braces again? First set when he was 14. He's 21 now and wanted to straighten his teeth again. So presumably he got them straightened before but didn't wear the retainer, and that work has been undone. Is that familiar? Is that common?
That is, it's a really familiar story. It's so regular that people, children, adolescents, teenagers get orthodontics done, get a beautiful result. But wearing the retainer is so important, and but that's so common you wouldn't believe it. As it regards having the braces redone again, that there's no problem there. Adult orthodontics is very, very common now. Certainly in places, in Europe and in the States and Canada, places like that. But increasingly so in Ireland, where you get a lot of adult people into their 40s, 50s, and 60s, even if they're are issues that they don't like about the shape of their teeth. There's no reason you just have to sit on that, and there's lots you can do about that. So to answer that particular listener's question, no issue having orthodontics redone if they so wish.
And there'll be no tutting?
No tutting, no. it happens all the time. Okay. The youth is wasted on the young, like kids, they get beautifully straight teeth, but then they don't realize how important it is, and their parents have spent a fortune on their braces, so it's really important that they wear those retainers.
I I want to read this one slowly because this is, I think this is quite an important one. And I don't know if this is the same situation this person was in, but it took me 3 or 4 years to work up the courage to return to an optician because an optician said something to me as I was leaving the opticians, right? I don't want to go into it. It's my own mind, right? But I understand. It took me 3 or 4 years. I had this fear of returning to an opticians. So I have a feeling that this person might have a fear of going to the dentists, maybe, but not in the traditional sense because of needles and stuff. So we'll treat that question in that way, if that's okay. They suffered with mental health issues that have caused them to neglect their teeth. They're very, very wary about going into a dentist. What can I say to them? I don't want to get told off. This is a big deal for me and my recovery. So they want to go into the dentist, but and I think this will be important as part of the recovery. But they're, for one reason or another, they maybe don't want to get scolded for neglecting their teeth, or maybe there's a bit of anxiety in going into the dentist. So what's your message to them?
I would say it's important for them to it's not exactly a leap of faith, but what I would say is, look, first of all, when you're making an appointment in most dental surgeries, you know, I think ours is typical of most, that your first point of contact is going to be the reception staff. And typically those guys are so well trained, they're so used to dealing with the public. And if this individual just says, look, you know, opens their heart up and says, look, this is the situation. I'd love to meet the dentist for a consultation. These are my issues. And like the reception staff will typically make that note on the patient's, on their patient's record. So, and let the dentist know, look, this is the situation. This person is uneasy about coming back to the dental environment. You know, we would like a nice, simple, gentle consultation for visit one, you know, to talk about the issues, and just so that the dentist then forewarned is forearmed, knows. And I'd be very surprised, like most dentists, like we're not all old school anymore. We don't tend to get told off, at least I hope not, when they go to the dental surgery, that, you know, if somebody says, you know, as I said earlier, opens their heart, says, look, to the dentist, you know, these are the problems I have, you know, and I want to try and fix this, and, you know, what can we do? Because like doctor and patient, dentist and patient, it's a partnership, and you're both working towards the same ends. You're both working for the dental health of that individual, and also you're hoping to get an end result that, yeah, the patient likes, that they look, when they look in the mirror, they like what they see, you know.
So that listener, you will get a sympathetic and understanding welcome from your dentist. Just tell the staff in advance. They've heard it all before, probably, and they know how to deal with things. A few notes could be left on your file for the dentist, and you can go in and continue that part of your journey, which seems sort of, from my reading of the text, sort of linked to the whole thing. So hopefully that's helped. Is there any way I can get my filling subsidised? Can't claim it back on tax, and I have a lot of work to get done.
There are some people, depending on means testing, would have medical cards. Medical card fillings are heavily subsidised in any given calendar year. The first two fillings you have done are free, they're not entirely free anymore, but they are. They're very, very heavily subsidised. That's for people who have a medical card. And not everybody does. And then for people who don't have a medical card, there isn't any particular government scheme or there are some dental insurance products on the market. I'm no expert now when it comes to.
Are we still in that situation where we can get some people can get their teeth pulled for free, but can't get their teeth cared for free?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of the shortcomings that you're referring there, Greg, to the medical card scheme. Yeah. It really is. It's basically an emergency scheme. It's to cover pain. It very much just covers the basics. It covers extractions. It covers a couple of fillings in any given year. You know, some dentures, things like that. It doesn't cover an awful lot. It's quite limited. And outside of that, that really, you know, dental care in the country is effectively is private. There's very little government put into it. The government doesn't provide much towards it. It's worth bearing in mind, though, the vast bulk of the population, anybody who's making, or almost everyone who makes PRSI contributions, is can gain or is entitled to a a dental examination every year, a couple of x-rays every year, and a cleaning that's heavily subsidized. It only costs, 10 or 15 euros to have the teeth cleaned once a year. So that does cover some preventative stuff. And that's actually a much bigger portion of the population than people realize. It's like a lot of people when they go to say to the opticians, are surprised to learn that they have a free eye exam. Well, dental care is the same. Anyone who can get a free eye exam can most likely get a free dental exam as well.
All right, my child is 3.5. She still doesn't have her upper lateral incisors. They just never came down and she's got two gaps where they should be. Does she need to be seen by a dentist?
And sorry, the child was how old?
3.5.
Sometimes a lateral incisor, it's what's called congenitally absent. It just never formed. When the baby was very, very young. And if that's the case, it can often repeat itself when the adult teeth come through. That would be my suspicion in a 3.5-year-old, because normally a 3.5-year-old will have all of their baby teeth. Normally all the baby teeth are through by about 2-ish, about 2, 2.5. So certainly by 3.5, I'd expect them to be there. If it isn't there, my guess is that they're probably just not there. And if they're not there, it's not a question of rushing off to the dentist, because there's nothing to be done, if you know what I mean. If they're not there, you certainly don't make any adjustments or changes to a baby's teeth. If the adult teeth are missing, then it's a question in the future. If there's some spacing at the front, yeah, you're thinking in terms of braces, orthodontics to close those spaces, perhaps.
All right, my teeth and gums bleed at night. Can the dentist give any advice on a product called ProDentine? And these are probably the words that fill you with fear. I saw it advertised on the internet.
ProDentine, I'm not aware of that product. There are a lot of products that people will be quite familiar with, just normal, TV or social media advertising. Things like Corsodil is a brand, and another brand called Akin have a range of products which are, pretty effective. They all have an active ingredient in them called chlorhexidine, which effectively it's an antibacterial. And it kills off a lot of the bugs that cause inflammation in the gums and therefore bleeding in the gums. It's a good starting point. And then what that person might want to do is go and see their dentist or go and see their dental hygienist for a good effective cleaning. Because if you've lots of plaque, lots of bacteria in the mouth, you could be brushing till the cows come home. You won't get it shifted properly yourself. And once you get rid of that, you'd be surprised, you'd be amazed. A lot of that inflammation in the gums will effectively sort itself out.
But it is amazing how I got something stuck in my gum, a bit of food or something I didn't realise I had. But in a matter of days, there was swelling, there was issues with... it's astonishing how quickly... It's dirty. Dirty teeth, how quickly it can manifest itself into something.
Yeah, well, that's something very nice. Things like popcorn, little popcorn kernels, stuff that can get stuck between the teeth, stuck in your gums, because our gums actually produce a fluid of their own. And if the gum is blocked, that fluid can't come out. It's part of your saliva.
Sweaty gums.
Yeah, and if your gums get sweat, they do get blocked, and therefore, quite suddenly you can get swelling, which is the beginning of an infection. But then again, on the flip side, it's once you get that shifted, it's easy to get rid of, and it'll sort itself.
But yes, just with that example you gave, you will struggle with a toothbrush. On cleaning, a caller asks, I don't know what the motivation for the question is, is there different degrees to cleaning teeth in dentists, like... Do you get what you pay for?
I suppose it's time. If you go for a standard, what's called a scale and polish, and that's the type of thing that's covered under your annual PRSI contributions, you'll typically have used what's called a prophy paste, which is in effect a gritty toothpaste. It's a slightly abrasive toothpaste. It gets rid of a lot of the stains and plaque and stuff that your own home brand toothpaste won't get rid of. And on top of that, you should receive a cleaning with what's called an ultrasonic scaler. Now, what that's actually for, that's a finer instrument. It gets into the areas that your toothbrush doesn't. It gets into those nooks and crannies between the back teeth underneath your gums shifts a lot of what's called calculus. That's the harder chalky deposit. And that's what's covered under a basic scale and polish. Now, depending on some people, if it's been quite a while since they're at the dentist, or some people develop huge amounts of plaque and tartar, they need to be brought back for secondary or maybe even a tertiary cleaning, whereby they just need a really deep cleaning done, and that takes longer. Sometimes it even requires local anaesthetic if they've got loads of deposits sort of under gum level. So to answer the patient's question, yeah.
So a dentist may well say, because of the situation in your mouth, I'm going to have to clean your teeth over a couple of consultations.
Yeah.
Okay, I get you. I have an ongoing fight with my daughter who is whitening her teeth far too much. How often is safe? Now, we don't know what she's using to whiten them, because there's no end of products being advertised on TikTok. And then there's the dentist's system as well. So we don't know what she's using, but can you overdo it?
If the product is safe, I would put it this way. Even if the product is safe, you can probably overdo it, yeah, a little. So long as they're using something that has a CE mark, is reputable, like it's typically a carbamide peroxide or a hydrogen peroxide. Normally, any whitening product, you'll do it for about a fortnight to start with. And thereafter, I would only say to my patients, thereafter, do it for a couple of nights per month. That's really all you need to keep the result fresh. I mean, it's not something you should even be doing for a couple of nights per week. And these products, they're very, very safe. But if you're using them constantly, I would be worried about the repercussions in the long run.
All right, listen, we're going to have to try and squeeze in a couple more. What age can you have issues with your wisdom teeth? My husband's 40, and claims his wisdom tooth is killing him. Could it actually be a gum issue? He's afraid of dentists, and trying to get him to make an appointment is impossible. Can I say before you say your thing, he's going to end up in a dentist. That is a fact, right? Well, whether he goes now by choice or ends up having to go be dragged there kicking and screaming, he's eventually going to have to go to a dentist. I understand. I can empathise with him. But this guy's going to have to go anyway. But is it possible his wisdom tooth is playing him up at 40? I wonder, Dara.
It's possible, Greg, yeah. Our wisdom teeth, typically no sign of them until 16, 17 at the very earliest, but more often we can be in our early 20s before they really start to have an impact. On occasion, if you say lose some other back teeth and that creates some space back there, the wisdom teeth can come through much later on. So it could be that the wisdom tooth is starting to push through, but typically when wisdom teeth cause trouble, it is actually, strictly speaking, a gum issue, because it's the gum that typically becomes infected around them. But again, course of antibiotics, a good cleaning around that area will sort it out. But if the wisdom tooth is trapped, it could become a recurring issue, and he may be well advised to have that wisdom tooth removed. And in that case, most likely he would be referred to a specialist oral surgeon to have that done.
But I think he needs advice from Dr. Dara and not Dr. Google.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I suspect his internet search history would be rich with either pain at the back of my mouth or I've discomfort. Staying with gums, I have gum disease and I'm going for a laser deep clean. It's €100 for the top and €100 for the bottom. Would you recommend it?
If it's a deep clean done and it's normally, yeah, it's, I'd have no issue with that. I'm not familiar with laser cleaning of the teeth per se. Normally we use, as I said, ultrasonic scalers. But I would imagine the process is not dissimilar. Mm. But if they've been to a reputable dentist or a hygienist and is told they need a deep cleaning, and if it's required, then it's, yeah, go for it.
Mouth ulcers, should I be going to the GP or to the dentist?
I think most oral issues, your dentist is much more familiar with them than your typical GP. I mean, there's no harm going to your GP. GPs are very well trained, very knowledgeable. But usually, oral issues, your first port of call, no harm going to your dentist, because they're familiar with what's going on in there.
My daughter's 9, slow developing her adult teeth. At what age should I be concerned? They are there, but are slow coming down.
I think you're okay for time just yet. If you get towards 11 or 12 and the some of those premolars and molars still haven't come in, it'll be no harm to see Well, I would hope that they're seeing their dentist. If their child is getting, you know, an annual checkup, you know, their dentist again will be able to tell them if there's progress. A lot of the time, like, teeth typically almost always come in of their own accord. It's very rare that they don't, and it's very rare that teeth are congenitally absent. But it does happen.
Okay. Is it true you can only get false teeth on the bottom row if you have front teeth missing?
Is it true you can only get false
teeth on the bottom row if you've got front teeth missing? I'm sure you can get teeth in anywhere.
You can get teeth in anywhere. I think I know what they're saying. If their bottom front teeth are missing and they still have teeth further back, yes. The short answer is yes. It makes their life a little easier because their lower denture will sit and fit better. Whereas the more, particularly in the lower jaw, the more teeth you're missing, the trickier it is to wear a lower denture. But yeah, it should be good to go. A
couple of callers saying they're having difficulty registering with dentists because they're not accepting medical card holders. Is that something that we're seeing, or is it just this individual's experience?
No, I'd say they're not wrong. That is something that's even nationwide. There are fewer and fewer dentists. There are fewer dentists opting into the medical card system. This is a historical point, and this has been happening gradually for years. So I'd say it's just within the last couple of years that the patients are starting to notice that it's that bit trickier to find a dental practice that accepts new medical card patients. An awful lot of dentists will have built up a large number of medical card patients over time and may find that their books are full and just can't accept any more. Perhaps it's probably
no obligation to the private businesses, I presume. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but just so I have a clear understanding. I mean, a dentist practice is a private business. They open it up and they choose if they want to do one or other or a mix, I presume.
Yeah, most dentists do a mix. I know here in our practice we've got four dentists and we've a mix. So there's most of the dentists see medical card patients, one or two don't, and it's really a question of their book, how busy they are and how many, you know, because they can only, I suppose, people, it's like you're going to your GP can only absorb so many patients. Like this is a problem we've seen, say, in the UK for years, where you people are even here familiar with the NHS. Where a lot of people in England, UK, Scotland would have difficulty accessing an NHS dentist or doctor. That's becoming the case, sort of something similar here, particularly in dentistry. It's getting hard to get to a medical card dentist.
Right, look, we could have done the hour easily with the amount of interest, Ara, but we really do appreciate your time. We've got things to do, and I know you've got things to do as well. So thanks for taking your time out of your busy morning to answer those questions. Really appreciate it.
Not at all, Greg. Always good to speak to you. Take care
of yourself. That is Dr. Dara Reynolds, partner at Errigal Dental. And that was Wellness Wednesday, focusing on your dental health. That item will be back with you. Wellness Wednesday next Wednesday, of course, but we'll get back to teeth in the not-too-distant future. Okay, business matters on the way for you shortly, but time for some of your comments here. Greg, with all these different types of crossings for pedestrians, why do the TAI not stick to one standard? Because this does not help the pedestrians or the motorists. I concur. Hi, Greg. Just listening here in relation to the pedestrian crossing in Ballybuffet. The crossing at the bank is awful. There's so much going on with all the junctions and the crossings. But if your speaker from the council doesn't even think it's a spaghetti crossing, then sure, we're talking to a brick wall and nothing will change. I think my reference to spaghetti is Spaghetti Junction, which is a junction in Birmingham. And if you ever see it from above, it looks like a bowl of spaghetti. And I think what he was saying is it's not quite that bad, in fairness. Oh, come on, Donegal County Council. These pedestrian crossings were put in place practically overnight without consulting the local drivers or pedestrians. Like everything else, we have to put up or shut up. Our betters know best. Dancing at the Bonagie Club in Letterkenny is cancelled for tonight, by the way, in case you weren't aware. We have a zebra crossing in Manor and one of the lights have been out for about 9 months. I've called the council and several councillors and yet here I am 9 months later with it still off. Right, so a zebra crossing in Manor, one of the lights isn't working. That sounds like it needs its bulb changed. I'll get a stepladder and go and do it myself. Hopefully, though, the council will. Can't believe that all the schools are closed today again and probably tomorrow. The snow's actually thawing and has been since last night. What's the big problem? Just be careful when out there. Should be no big problem unless you own your own lane or road is untreated, is slippy. Well, you see, and I don't want to sound in any way patronising, a large proportion of the school and its staff, by the way, it's not just the students, don't live on main roads. They live on back roads. I had incredible difficulty getting from my house onto the main road. Once on the main road, no problem, but incredible difficulty. Some of the roads are simply not passable. A lot of students get to school via buses. The bus companies themselves have to decide whether or not they can drive on many occasions on back roads safely, picking up their precious cargo to get them to school safely. So a school presumably has to consider, is it fair to ask its staff to try and get in on these dangerous back roads? Yes, the main roads are gritted, we get that. And secondly, bus companies can't run, so many of the students can't get into school. So I think it's understandable why schools are closed. I get it, but I fully respect your view. But as I say, there's a lot of people, staff as well, that couldn't get into school. Whatever happened to the bypass that was happening in Ballybuffet? Well, it's one side of Ballybuffet, then it's on the other side of Ballybuffet. It's tied into the 10Ts, isn't it? And it's on the long finger, but the consultation over its route is ongoing, I believe. I believe some land and properties that would have to make way for it, that work is ongoing, if I'm not mistaken. I was in Ballybuffet Friday last. I tried to cross the road, had to wait at least 15 minutes to get across Ballybuffet Street. I'd be very careful. If not, I'd be run over. I was at more than one of these so-called safe crossings trying, and thankfully a lady and a young person finally showed the respect and stopped to let me safely across. Thanks to those drivers. Happy 2023, Greg, and all at Highland Radio, a daily listener. Great to have you on board. Thank you. I too, Greg, was aghast at the Ballybuffet crossings the last time I drove through, simply adding to the chaos of that road. It's only a matter of time now before we have a fatality. Well, let's please pray that that doesn't happen. They should take a wee look at Strabane crossings lit up correctly. Donegal County Council, a joke if it wasn't so serious. It's the TAI, by the way, it's not the council. It is the council on some stuff on this occasion. It's Transport Infrastructure Ireland, because this is the main road. If the council take any responsibility for the unfinished zebra crossings in the event of personal injury claims against drivers by pedestrians, again, I think it might be under the TII, but if they've passed legislation, presumably within that legislation, there's a bit of protection for them. Hi, home help people should get free snow tyres. That would get them around to see their patients. In some cases, yeah, I get you. Wow, there's even more on these crossings. This is unbelievable. I'd say we have got more texts on this today and messages on social media than you might get actually in a public consultation process. Bank crossing is a disaster. Four words. That's it. They leave it at that. Hi, Greg. Be interesting to see who voted in the poll, because no one I know knew of a poll. These crossings just appeared overnight. There was no poll. I think maybe you're on about the consultation. Donegal drivers are ignorant of pedestrian crossings now in most countries. Before pedestrians cross, they put their hand up to say they want to cross. Coming in from Jackson's, where the bank crossing is located, leaves pedestrians in the blind spot for lorries. So dangerous. Yeah, indeed. I can see where you're coming from. Only in Ireland that this can happen, where incompetent people and people in jobs that they are fit to do every country. Well, apparently non-pelican zebra crossings are common in other countries. 9 till noon show, we need a roundabout at the finger post on the round from Ballybuffet to Convoy, where you take the left to Letterkenny on your way from Ballybuffet. Tailbacks at the finger posts at Kilross every morning and evening is totally unacceptable. Thanks for raising the issue. I believe funding, I have to do an awful lot of this off memory, and the older I get, the less reliable that seems to become. I think funding has been allocated for, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe funding has been allocated for, what do you call it, a pre-plan for the provision of a roundabout at Kilross, I believe. Now, I could be confusing that with the Lahey Junction, but I think Kilross as well. Either there's calls for funding for a preliminary report or whatever you might call it at Kilross. It really, really needs one. You know, it would make life so much easier for so many people. But also, I think there was some funding allocated for a roundabout at Lahey. Was there stuff? I think Kilross as well. If not, we'll chase it up. Jared, save me from my memory. Jared, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right, speed really is a problem you're highlighting.
Speed, feet is my issue. I live in the town of Balfrey here in Donegal Street.
Yeah.
Last week, 2 days in a row, I was nearly knocked down twice by cars driving up and down the street like the hammer blew hell. It's unbelievable what's going on in this town. And then the approach in, the pedestrian crossings in, and they're going too hard. And yeah. I spoke around the Garda last week about it. I've also written to all the councillors as well too. This is before this was highlighted today.
So are you between the bank and the Lidler Aldi there, or are you further on out the road?
I'm on bang in between there just.
Yeah, okay.
So that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm born and reared in the town here, and the change in the traffic here is unbelievable. What has happened now since they resurfaced the road from the bottom of Rory's Bray down onto the town, and the cars are travelling at high speed in it, 7:30 in the morning, they would drive over the top of you, 8:30 in the morning, going to work, going to school, both ways, heading to Donegal Town, heading to Letterkenny. Something is going to happen shortly. Like, there's going to be somebody killed, and I witness every day in this town, day and night, them pedestrian crossings, an absolute disaster that's there, you know.
And do you think people put the foot down once they cross those boxes as they head out the Donegal Road, or they fly in?
Once they come around at the bank corner heading up Donegal Street here, it's shoe to the board. They don't lift, and the same coming down, and then there's a junction then just above me here at Lidl that takes you down then to the Thrusk Road there. What happens, there's cars there, but then there's cars coming down the inside driving at speed, and it's unbelievable. I just feel so passionate about this. There's somebody going to be killed in this town, and the sooner someone has to be sorted out. Earlier on, Jonathan them touched on about the lighting in the town. The lighting is atrocious.
It's terrible.
It's not all the driver's fault. Them crossings, it's the pedestrians, it works both ways, but as I say, the speed is a major, major issue in this town, so and someone has to be done about it.
Yeah, and you know, we're not talking about just inconvenience and stuff. What this whole conversation is about making sure no one gets hurt or injured.
Exactly,
you know, that's what we're talking about. We don't want, you know, everywhere pedestrianised and cars off the road.
This is just about trying
to share this space, but it to be safe. And you need the backup of enforcement by the sounds of things, Jared.
I've asked the councillors to get signage. As you enter the village with the school in there, there's a warning sign there. It'll tell you exactly what speed you're doing, and makes people aware, and they slow down for it, or something like that.
Those signs are amazing.
Like that.
Yeah, they're amazing, because even if people have other things on their mind, they flash there. Like, if you had one as you sort of passed the turn off to the Lidl there, and it was flashing saying slow down, and it was showing your speed, say you were doing 55 or 45, overnight you would see traffic slowing down approaching that junction.
Definitely would. Yeah. And then the whole thing comes in, that's they're coming down then into the pedestrian crossing at the bank, you see, they're coming in there at speed into that, you know. Yeah. And as they listen, as an accident waiting to happen, and please God it not happen. But someone needs to be done urgently about it. And as they regarding the survey of the council, I don't know who they're talking to.
I'll tell you, we get a lot of reaction on this show, Jared. But I'll tell you, between social media and people texting and calling in, there's not much will top this year in terms of people having a say. And overwhelmingly, they don't want the baby thrown out with the bathwater, but they need, these things need further investigation. The lights need to be improved in Ballybofey and Stranorlar as well.
Oh, they're absolutely atrocious there. See it at night there in Newcombe, down there in front of Villa Rose along there. I mean, see, it's so dark.
It is dark. You know? I don't know if there's anything.
And all that.
Okay.
And all that needs to be addressed. And I say fair pretties and highlighting for highlighting all this as well, too, because someone has to be done sooner rather than later.
Well, listen, it's a beautiful part of the world, beautiful people, and very important to us here, Jared. As you are, so stay safe, Jared.
Right.
Get back on to us. You know what I mean? Don't.
Oh no, I will be. I'm very, very passionate about this. I feel now is the time someone has to be done about it. Mm. We have to keep the pressure on for someone to be done. You know.
But those flashing signs, I think, are brilliant. There's one coming into Capri there as well. Maybe that's the same one you're on about. It's probably a bit further up from Capri, but you know, I'm an outsider. But those are very effective, because it just reminds a driver. You have to actively defy the sign, and most of us aren't conditioned to do that, you see, and that's why they work.
That's right, yeah.
All right, Jared, keep safe.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Nice to have you on board, by the way, listening. David, morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How's things?
I'm good. What's your view in it all, David?
Well, Greg, I just heard the man speaking before me there, I think his name was Jared, about it's an accident waiting to happen. In 2020, my uncle was involved in a hit and run at that pedestrian crossing beside the bank, which happened in the evening time. The person involved in the incident was never found in terms of who committed the hit and run. But I think that just exemplifies, you know, the kind of dangerous nature of that pedestrian crossing there at the bank. You know, an accident has happened in 2020, which is 3 years ago now, and it seems to be no remediation done in terms of improving the safety there at that pedestrian crossing, you know. So, and they're coming in at awful speed. And I do agree in terms of, you know, the hypervigilance of drivers when they don't see flashing lights or they don't see something that calls their attention. Sometimes we're drivers in a bit of a daydream. You're driving from Letterkenny to Donegal Town, we'll say, which is a long enough commute, you know, to keep that hypervigilance throughout your full journey to look at every sign is very, very difficult.
100%,
you know, so I do think safety measures need to be improved there, Greg.
Great. You also want to raise an issue of potholes, David, as well. And listen, thanks for your insight into that. But you also have a concern about potholes as well whilst we're on the roads, David.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be, Greg, we moved into Convoy about a year and a half ago now. And the road situation coming in and around Convoy is absolutely unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. Once you leave Convoy for the Letterkenny Road towards Glenmaclin, the potholes are probably the length of your arm into the road, and that's no exaggeration. And you've drivers swerving out of the way to miss the potholes to try to decrease damage to their cars. There's pedestrians then walking on them roads. Then you have another car that's approaching the car that's swerving. And I've witnessed, since Christmas, I must have witnessed about nearly 10 missed accidents. And then just shortly after Christmas, Greg, across from the local community playgroup in Convoy, there was a pothole of enormous size. There was an elderly man out walking his dog. There was a car in front of me. It went into the pothole. The water went up over the elderly man, soaked him from head to toe, and he was in shock after. I had to pull over the car, and my friend was on the passenger with me. And then we put a cone into the pothole. Now, I contacted the Lifford County Council office and spoke to the receptionist, who said she would pass the message on. The pothole still remains today, and it's infuriating.
These are very dangerous potholes by the sounds of things in Convoy Village and on the Letterkenny Road into Convoy. I don't think anyone in the council would purposely want them to be there. So hopefully someone's listening and they can get out there and sort that out. Because that poor gentleman out having a walk too, it's a bit humiliating and inconvenient. But you see, we also use the word accident, David, and this is not correcting you. But, you know, drivers are very quickly blamed for speeding. And if you're speeding, it's not an accident, OK? Because there's a cause. If your car's not worthy, it's not really an accident, because if your car was worthy, maybe it could have been avoided. But the roads and the road infrastructure, if they're poor, they're contributing to collisions. So it's not an accident, because there's a cause and effect with things, isn't there, David?
Yeah.
And I think we're NCT'd, we're having to jump through every bloody hoop going. I think we can expect the roads to be at least middling.
Yeah, and other part of it, Greg, as you said, that we pay tax, we pay insurance, we pay NCT. I went away last year, bought a hybrid car to do my bit for the environment that we're being pushed to do. You know, and that's the way that the economy's changing in terms of that sustainable development. And then you're driving a relatively new car, which you pay a lot of money for, and through this infrastructure. Now, the argument can be made that you go the main road from Convoy to Balvaveigh to Letterkenny, which is an extra 20 minutes onto your journey. You know what I mean? And which is chock-a-block with traffic. We know that at that junction, coming from Letterkenny into Balvaveigh, that T-junction from Convoy to Balvaveigh is chock-a-block with traffic. But I just also want to make the point, Greg, I heard someone on earlier about the consultation process between the council and that, and then pedestrian crossing. I really urge the council to really rethink their consultation methods in terms of how they engage with the public. You know, to interview or to ask people that's using the pedestrian crossing, it's not the majoritarian view of what's going on in the community. You know, that's not really a random sample.
Fair enough. And listen, come here. And you talked about your new car as well. Listen, we did as much as we can talking to experts and determined there's a high, very, very high pass rate in most of the NCT centres in Donegal. And the only thing that's different here to other places is the condition of the roads. Maybe we have a slightly different attitude and we sort of get the test done and then fix what fails. But the roads are a big part. David, lovely to chat to you. Happy motoring. Any buyer's remorse with your hybrid?
No, it's going extremely well, you know, so it's a bit of a change. But I think, Greg, you know, when you want reliability and you're looking for a new, I think we're being pushed that way as well. I think that's another conversation in terms of how we're getting on. But
yeah, we're not that kind of worms this close to 12. Okay, but definitely worth a chat again in the future. Happy motoring, David. Great to chat to you. Bye bye. Thanks very much indeed. Business Matters on the way.
Business Matters in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. Looking for a career in financial services? Consider the Level 9 MA in Governance and IT in Financial Services. Take the next step in your career and contact the Exec Ed Coordinator on 91 86206, or email execed@atu.ie today.
All right, Kieran O'Donnell. Majin Wai, how are you? Kieran?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's the story?
That's white out there. That's slippy.
It is. I saw you walking up out there, did I? You didn't risk the car, your old back-wheel drive?
No.
POS?
I got parted at the nearest door and got on here. I'm usually around the back.
I'm surprised you got up to the mountaintop with it, let alone up the driveway. Come here. I was at a recent event in Loch Esk, and it's amazing the amount of money that's invested in there. And I talked a little bit about maybe sometimes... We focus on IT and tech jobs and tech investment, and it's lauded and it's fantastic. But there's amazing investment going on in terms of hospitality and in terms of retail as well. Perfect example of what's happening down at the Loch Esk Castle Hotel, Kieran.
Yeah, very well summed up, Greg. Loch Esk Castle Hotel in Donegal Town is to receive an investment of €5 million from Harcourt Developments, and this will see the construction of a two-storey development comprising 24 suites and 4 bedrooms. So when this new extension is complete, Greg, the team at Loch Esk is expected to increase to 235. So that emphasizes
planning a infinity sauna or something as well. They mentioned I'm not sure if it's part of this development or other developments, because they've just done up all the rooms as well. That's great news. Bank of Ireland's $1 million donation to Kieran O'Donnell, am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I'll have it with you. Bank of Ireland is set to donate €1 million to organisations supporting those most at risk from the cost of living pressures. The bank is making $500,000 available immediately to 12 organisations working with vulnerable groups across the island of Ireland, and the second $500,000 will be divided among 50 smaller non-profit organisations in March.
All right, business information session taking place?
Yeah, Donegal Local Enterprise Office will hold its next business information and grant aid workshop on Friday, January the 27th. The two-hour session, which runs from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, will be delivered via Zoom. So the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, Greg, is the first point of contact for those setting up business in Donegal, and these monthly sessions give an overview of the supports and services available to small businesses in the county. So well worth going along and making touch there, or contacting the office. On, you can get them on 07491 60735, or email info@leo.donegalcoco.ie.
That's a very fancy shirt you've got on there. Are you going to the Pulse?
If it's open. You come along. Have you won in the card?
You do not have to ask me twice. Come here, if you can sort out a babysitter. End of a banking year. I mean, to be honest, it's been a death by a thousand cuts for Ulster Bank customers, because certain services were being, you know, stripped back over the course of the last couple of months. But the familiar enough frontage is bye-bye.
Yeah. The doors of Ulster Bank's in Buncrana, Balbuffet, Donegal Town and Killybegs closed for the last time on Friday. Now, the Letterkenny branch is remaining open to help customers to change providers, and the plan is for all these branches to reopen as permanent TSB branches. Just going back to the frontage, Greg, I suppose, Letterkenny, for our own example here, locally, it was always a very sort of iconic part of the town and the market square there, so if there's no more.
That's quite true indeed. Northwest in the city, well, Donegal Town is different, obviously, because where the Ulster Bank used to be, there's now a pub.
Here.
Yeah, believe it or not. And now Ulster Bank was moved further up the street and it's closing. All right, Northwest in the City event. Kieran, what's this all about?
Yeah, as part of Donegal County Council's focus on attracting talent back to Donegal and the Northwest, its Economic Development Unit is partnering with national agencies, local authorities and stakeholders for the Northwest in the City event, and is taking place in Dublin's Westbury Hotel on Thursday, February the 9th. More than 20 global multinationals and leading companies are expected to attend, and these will include Optum, TCS and Fintrue that are based locally here.
All right, we're going to preview this week's podcast after the break. We're in the company of Kieran O'Donnell. In fact, we're going to be tight to squeeze all this in, Kieran. So let's get straight to it. What's on this week's podcast?
Yeah, I'm joined by Little County Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Officer Tony Forrester and the founder of Pumpskins, Catherine Devine. Last week, Little County Chamber revealed that sales of Shopbell K carriage
for 2022. We're tight in time, but I don't want to.
Have exceeded €4 million. So, while delighted, Tony says she was somewhat surprised that the increase of €1 million compared to the figure for 2021.
I remember when, way back in 2014, we reached 800,000 and we thought, oh, they'll never, it'll go over a million, but they'll never really do much more than that, because you start thinking about the population of Letterkenny and the amount of businesses. But it just went on, and we work hard at it, and we put the brand out there a lot. But this million this year, we had assumed in the office here that we might go up by maybe 10-15%. And then the government very helpfully announced that there was the incentive that businesses can get from the scheme was increasing from 500 to 1,000. So then we thought, oh yeah, we'll go up a little bit more. But definitely we didn't think a million.
God, I wonder what one of those vouchers looked like from your employer. Anyway, Kieran, what's... I'm interested to hear more of that interview with Tony, as I am with Catherine. So what are you talking to? Tell us a bit about Catherine.
Yeah, in 2021, Greg, local journalist Catherine Devine decided to quit her role with the Donegal News to invest all of her working time and her company Pumpskins. So Pumpskins makes silicone gel covers for diabetes equipment such as insulin pumps and glucose monitoring systems. Catherine has lived with type 1 diabetes since 2013 and has considerable insight into what people with the condition need. Pumpskins has distribution partnerships in 16 countries from South America, across Europe and the Middle East. And this week, the Donegal company will launch on a new American platform. So during our conversation, Greg, I asked Catherine about her decision to leave her full-time position with the Donegal News 3 years ago to concentrate full-time on her business.
Wow, what an amazing story.
It was a huge decision, Kieran, because I think there is safety in traditional employment. There's safety in knowing that you're going into an office and that someone's going to be paying your wages at the end of the month. But then you've got to balance that with the other side of, you know, trying to just look after your family, look after things at home. My husband, Sean's a farmer. I'm helping him on the farm. So there was so much going on. And at one point, even though I knew that I wanted to work for myself, I thought there's absolutely no way that I can leave this job, because it would be completely irresponsible of me to take this leap of faith. But I got support from Sean. I got support from people around me. And I knew that this was something I could do.
Another story of people taking a considered, you know, leap of faith. And again, I'm envious. Can't wait to hear more of Catherine Devine there. That's actually really a fascinating story, as they generally all are. Full interviews with Tony Forrester and Catherine Devine are available now on highlandradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Business Matters on air, Kieran?
Yeah, usual time, Greg, just after 6 o'clock news on Sunday evening.
And if people would like to get in touch with you, feedback on the show, suggested items, all that kind of stuff, Kieran?
Yeah, businessmatters@highlandradio.com is the email.
Thank you so much, Kieran. I really do appreciate it. It's always great to have you in. The winner of our snowman competition, the thing's about 48 feet tall. It's amazing. It was built by Aaron, Ruby, Amy, Ella and Isabel and Sophia. They've won it. It's 12 foot 1 inch. Bit of thawing, probably 11'9" today. But anyway, congratulations. You've won that cup. We're going to post those images on our socials. Right, thanks to Donna Marie and Caroline Orr, who worked on the show. Thanks to all of you who listened and took part and watched and all that stuff. John's next. We're back tomorrow morning at 9.